Welcome to the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
Chapter 24, verse 1. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. Now remember, only the direct descendants of Aaron and ultimately of the tribe of Levi can be allowed to be priests. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were Nadab and Abihu. Now if you know the story, in Numbers 3, they get fired. And I mean literally, they get fired. God was filling the temple and the glory of the Lord was evident to everybody. And they said, well, we need to get some of that on us because we want to be famous and looked up to. And God says, your hearts are stinky because you're headstrong and proud. And he called fire down and they died crispy critters. Then Eleazar and Ithamar, circle those two. So Aaron had four sons, Nadab and Abihu. And they were killed, and they had no offspring. And then two more sons, Eleazar and now Ithamar. Now skip down to verse 4. There were more leaders found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar. Thus they were divided among the sons of Eleazar, 16 boys and their houses, and 8 heads of their father's house of the sons of Ithamar. So we have sons of Eleazar, 16, sons of Ithamar, 8. So that's how many? 24. Now skip down, verse 7. Now here's what's going to happen. The descendants of these 24 men are going to be the priests that minister in the temple. 24 courses or 24 rotations. Now the first lot fell to Jehoiarib. Okay, so there's rotation number 1. Now also the Bible is going to say that each of these rotations are going to serve 2 weeks per year. Okay, so 2 weeks per year in 24 rotations. The first lot fell to Jehoiarib, the second to Jedidiah, the third to Hiram, and the fourth, and so on. Now skip to verse 10. The 7th course was Hakaz, and the 8th was, where's that name right there? Abijah. Luke is telling you that Zechariah, who's going to be John the Baptist's dad, is of the course of Abijah. And because these courses worked certain weeks of the year, the first courses always began in the spring, and the 8th course was always serving roughly in July. Can you see how we got that? So if you are the course of Abijah, you're the 8th course, which means your number is up in the first portion of the month, our month of July. Now back to Luke chapter 1 again. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias. And he was of the division of Abijah, which means this is early July. In 70 AD, with 5 Roman legions, Titus Vespasian takes control of the Jewish capital. He lays siege around the city of Jerusalem, and for the next almost year, over 1 million Jewish people perished within the siege of Jerusalem. And though they were under orders, do not destroy the temple, somebody fired a flaming arrow over the siege wall into the big doors there of the temple, and some of the drapery and some of the wooden products began to burn, eventually engulfing the entire amazing 60-foot structure into flames. And because there was gold inlay and gold overleaf over so much of this, when the fire caught fire and burned with such intensity that the gold melted and seeped in between the seams of the stones. And when the Romans got a hold of it, they breached the walls of Jerusalem, killed virtually the remaining population of Jerusalem. And when the fires had died down and they knew that all the gold had seeped between the stones, what did the soldiers and the legions do? They knocked over all the stones to try to gather all of the remaining gold. Hence, the temple was destroyed. on the 9th of Ab, a very terrible date in Jewish history, and in our time, August the 5th of that year, 70 AD. Now, something interesting happened. It was such a terrible day. The Roman historians, he was a Jewish fellow, Josephus, but he was in the employ of the Romans to take a history. He noted that the first course of priests had just begun and was also later cataloged in the Talmud. With that marker that on the 5th of August or the 9th of Av in the Jewish calendar in 70 AD, the first course of priests had just begun. And the guys over there at Koinonia House, Chuck Missler and his group, with that marker, they actually did their research and counted back the 24 courses all the way to Luke chapter 1, 3 BC, and they found that Zechariah is going to finish his course. We knew it was early July, but it turns out it's actually July the 13th, 3 BC. Now, why is that important? Watch this. Zechariah, the division of Abijah, his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child. And that was a cultural no-no, big time. Even though you're a priest, married to a wife who was from a priest, if you didn't have kids, the culture said, there must be something wrong with you. So they maybe never told Elizabeth to her face, but it was a great shame, and she was always saddened greatly because she had no child. Verse 7 again, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. That's a polite way of saying they were old and wrinkly. Verse 8, and so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, July of 3 BC, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. This was a highly coveted piece. How many people were of the course of Abijah? We don't know. Perhaps thousands and thousands. Once, perhaps in a lifetime, this one symbolic act was huge. And all the city of Jerusalem stopped because it was one where you would watch this priest. He would walk in with his smoldering censer into the holy place by himself. He was going to stand before this little skinny altar of incense, and then he would pray. And what it was the symbol of all the sacrifices and all the prayers behind you symbolized. It was a very important job. And all of Jerusalem was standing out behind him, waiting for him to come out to basically say, God has received your prayer. And they would all say, yay. But while they were waiting, and he goes in, he's supposed to be there all by himself. Also, I couldn't help but think, had he and Elizabeth prayed about having a child? I bet they did. In fact, it's going to say here in a minute that they did. When they were young newlyweds, no child yet. That's okay, Elizabeth. We'll just keep praying. They move into their mid and late 20s, no child. They move into their 30s, mid-30s, late-30s, 40s, no child. How many years do you suppose they might have prayed? We can only guess, but my hunch is her entire child-bearing years. And then it became obvious and evident as she moved past childbearing age. And the Bible says they were advanced in years. Do you suppose they stopped praying? Would you? Well, I guess that's just one thing that God either didn't hear us, but he certainly didn't answer our prayer. Oh, and here's Zechariah modeling the prayers of an entire nation. I wonder if he had the thought, ooh, I get to do this wonderful job of taking the coal, you know, into the altar. And I wonder if the thought occurred to him, yeah, you answer everybody else's prayer, but not mine. I wonder. Now watch what happens. Verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. This was a big deal. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. That's on the table of showbread side. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid. Good thing angels always say that, huh? I am afraid. Well, don't be afraid. I can't help it. I mean, dude, you're an angel. Now look at this. Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer was heard. What does it say, everyone? Is the present tense. They had given up prayer years ago, but their prayer request was still reverberating throughout heaven. Do you see this? Have you ever given up on a prayer? God never does. Every single one of your prayers is answered. Now the hard part is, not in our timetable, and sometimes maybe not even on this side of glory. Here's one. I believe with all of my heart that every single person that is a born-again believer, that you pray for their healing, will be healed. Maybe not on this side of glory. Your prayer is heard. And I wonder if Zechariah went, what prayer is that? What are you talking about? He had long forgotten about it. God never does. Your prayer is still being heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. That's going to be John the Baptist. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says there was no man born among men greater than John the Baptist. In other words, John the Baptist is the greatest human, the last of the prophets of the Old Testament. His life was so exemplary that there was no man born among women greater than John. And then God said, Jesus would say, and if your righteousness doesn't exceed that, you're in trouble. And whoa, you just said he's the greatest ever. In the law, John was the greatest. But who of us can keep the law? None of us. But after Jesus Christ paid for all our sins, now our righteousness are his righteousness. And the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Wonderful story. Look at verse 16. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He, John, will also go before him. Notice it's capital. That's Messiah. John will go before Messiah in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready the people prepared for the Lord. The last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, says, watch out, because Elijah will come before the Messiah. That's why a lot of people ask Jesus when he's working miracles, are you Elijah? Because they knew that Elijah would come and do miracles before Messiah. Verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? The idea here is he's doubting. You look at the construction in Greek, it's like, I don't think so, Tim. That's kind of what he's thinking. For I am an old man and my wife is, well, advanced in years. There is an air of disbelief here. Verse 19, and the angel answered, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my word. Remember how I said this course of Abijah served typically in early July? And that some of the scholars got together when they knew that the historians, when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, they plotted back the 24 courses. And in 3 BC, the course of Abijah finished their course on the 13th of July. Write in your notes somewhere, July 13th, 3 BC. Now, what do you suppose he did when he finished his course and he went home to mama? We'll look at verse 23. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed from his house and stopped by and got a Barry White album. And now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Conceivably, July 13th, 3 BC. She hid herself for 5 months. You know, imagine her being advanced in age and, Elizabeth, how are you doing? I'm a little pregnant. Before she started showing, they might have thought she was what? Looney Tunes. So she hid herself for 5 months. Let's go to verse 26. Now in the sixth month, this is Elizabeth's sixth month, the beginning of her sixth month. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, same fellow, was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth. Uh-oh, what's he going to do? Telegram. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, we already know about Joseph. His bloodline is tainted. Hers is not. The virgin's name was Mary. Write in your margin, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." If you're not Jewish, you might miss the significance of this statement. The blessedness of women is a jargon word, a colloquialism for the mother of the Messiah. She is well taught. She knows. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus." Jehovah saves. "And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." This is the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3. The seed of the woman. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Her saying this is not in doubt. She's basically saying, "I know you're going to do this, but how are you going to do this?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One," one of the titles of Messiah, "who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative," they're related somehow. Elizabeth, who is much older, is related. "Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son," in a more conventional method, "in her old age, and this is now the sixth month," the beginning of the sixth month, "for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Verse 38, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of your Lord, let it be according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now watch this, verse 39. "Now Mary arose in those days," what days? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, "and went to the hill country with haste to a city in Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe," who is how old now in her womb? 6 months, "leaped in her womb." And I've got to add this. This is an unborn child with a ministry. Amen? There are people that try to say they're just tissue. Here is a pre-born baby that is used by God to minister. Leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. When did Mary receive Gabriel telling her that she was pregnant? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Check this out. First slide. Here we go. The Jews' entire culture revolved around these seven feasts that are described and detailed in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. They are also prophetic. When the blood of the lamb was daubed onto the doorpost and the lintel of the people there in captivity in Egypt, and the angel of death would see the blood of the and pass over. And they celebrated that every year since. What day was Jesus crucified on? The Passover, the blood of the Lamb. Do you see how they're prophetic? He was the unleavened bread. He rose on the Feast of First Fruits. The church was born on the Feast of Pentecost. Three feasts remain in a prophetic fashion. The trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles that have all tremendous significance. Luke, the great historian, has said this, that on the course of Abijah, now we know from 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 10, that was in July. According to the historical markers provided to us by the Talmud and also Josephus, that the first course had just begun when, in August the 5th, 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. It's simple math to go back several years, follow the cycle, and in 3 BC, the course of Abijah would have finished on July the 13th. Okay? The typical human gestation period is 280 days. Now we are getting into speculation. Everybody say speculation. So, 13 BC, if Zechariah was finished with his course and ran home with his Barry White album, John could conceivably have been conceived on that day. Let's add 280 days, and you come up with April 9th, 2 BC. Is that interesting? Go ahead. Happened to be in that year in 2 BC, Passover. If John the Baptist was born on Passover, what did every Jewish family do on Passover? They set up the Seder dinner. And they always kept an empty chair and an empty place setting for whom? Elijah. Because Malachi 3 says Elijah is going to come and herald the coming of Messiah. And at one specific place in the Seder dinner, the kids race to the front door, open the door, and yell for and look for Elijah. If John the Baptist was born on Passover and the doors of Jerusalem were open, where is Elijah? In the spirit of Elijah, born to potentially Elizabeth, was John the Baptist on that day. Next one. So when did Mary discover that she was pregnant? In the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth. Okay, so the beginning of the sixth month is going to be 163 days from July the 13th. Did you follow me? So hit the button. John was conception in 13th, 3 BC, plus 163 days. That equals, go ahead, December the 24th, 3 BC, potentially could be the conception of Jesus. Do you follow me? So with that in mind, now we're going to add, go ahead and hit the button, we're going to add from December the 24th, 3 BC, we're going to add the typical 280-day gestation period. Who knows? Was he gestated fully at 280 days? We don't know, but if so, it's possible that Jesus was born on, go ahead, September the 29th, 2 BC. If you're keeping track, that's Tishri 1. Jesus might have been born on the Feast of Trumpets.
You've been listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.